RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming up in, 47 minutes, Kevin Stefanski's press conference.
You were close.
Is that right? 37 minutes. I quickly looked up at the clock. Thank you. Jake Volnick doing the math here on the show. I'm Jeff Phelps. I'm going to talk about the Cavs in a second here. But we've been kicking around Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry in the package deal a lot today. Kurt's been hanging on. Kurt, I want to get your thoughts in. Welcome.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Good, Kurt.
Hey, Jake. Welcome to the show.
Kurt.
I've shared my resume before with Phelps. 72 Dolphin playoff game with the Browns. Fitz, Warfield, blah, blah, blah. So, thank you for the clapping.
Sure.
On the subject of the Barry Stefanski issue,
yeah.
I think both of them have to go. And it pains me to say that about Stefanski. I think Barry is more of the culprit here. And I saw a couple of things in yesterday's game that really solidified it for me. And I just shake my head. Alex Wright, a good, not great player, but yet we sign him to a $33 million three-year contract when we have five offensive line holes. I don't understand that, and maybe it's a cap issue. Dan can probably talk about that. But Alex Wright, $33 million, 3 years. I'm not seeing the return on investment. The second thing, and this one really drove me crazy, Carson Schwechinger, my dog, best linebacker I've seen since Clay Matthews, running down the field on kickoffs. I have never, other than Lawrence Taylor being the gunner for Parcells because they needed a turnover, I have never seen a potential all-pro player running down the field on kickoffs. I think it's Bubba Ventrone yet again. Maybe Stefanski's signing off on it. Help me understand Schwechinger on the field for kickoffs colliding with return guys. Thanks, guys.
All right, Kurt, thank you. You see Myles Garrett coming off the edge trying to block kicks?
I did, yeah.
Well, this team, many teams, want to try and win football games. And you see good players playing special teams. That the rosters are limited in the NFL. Kurt, I get what you're thinking there. I would tend to lean the same way, except teams do it. And it baffles me sometimes. But the Browns aren't alone, if that means anything.
Yeah, but I would say, I would think most teams probably don't, right? Like, kickoffs, punts, I would say you see your top defensive players probably not on the field.
Your top, no, except, I mean, you got to play somebody out there. You're not going to just, like, on a field goal defensive team, you're not going to put offensive linemen out there.
No.
You're going to put, you know, your starting defensive linemen. They're going to be out there. You're going to, because of the roster size in the NFL, you're going to have to play key guys on special teams. It happens. I hate it. And I'll be honest, I can't sit here and tell you, well, I know this guy for this team is playing on special teams. I don't think people notice that much. But, yeah, I've seen Schlesinger on special teams. I saw Myles Garrett almost block a kick the other day. It happens. I don't necessarily like it.
I mean, it's wild that you get both of those guys on special teams and Bubba Ventrone still comes out and says, I don't have enough talent on special teams. I don't have enough of these guys. Well, you got Myles Garrett and Carson Schlesinger out there every once in a while. I'd say those guys are pretty good, Jeff.
Ed's in Hudson, Ed.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, Ed.
I'm sure this has come up before, but my question is, who decides whether to fire both Stefanski and Barry?
Ownership.
And then, okay, but isn't that the same ownership that decided to do the Watson deal?
So we're kind of thinking, Ed, yes. I know where you're going with this.
Yeah,
I don't disagree with you.
I would just seem to me that they got to keep Barry to, weigh in with some football knowledge, or it's just Jimmy and his wife making the decision.
Ed, you're correct. Yeah. But if Kevin and Andrew have been on the same page and same level all along, like Kevin doesn't answer to Andrew Barry, Kevin answers to ownership. So ownership would definitely then have to say, well, we like the job that this guy has done, but we don't like the job that this guy has done. Because Andrew Barry is not technically considered Kevin Stefanski's boss. Paul DePodesta probably was.
Okay. It just seems to me that we'd be going from the frying pan into the fire if we're letting ownership make the decision and then make it even worse. They make the new decision on who to bring in.
Ed, can't argue with you. Can't argue with you on that.
I mean, yeah, it's dangerous. Like the one thing that, and what makes me believe, aside from the reports that Barry would be back, would be the fact that they talked about continuity, consistency, how much they value it. That
and the big swing and a miss comment. You know, does that take coaching off the hook? Does that take GM off the hook? It might.
Yeah,
it might.
But I mean, you get rid of both those guys, you basically be clearing house for, you know, more or less, some of your front office, I'm sure, is gone because those are guys that Barry has also worked to bring in. Obviously, a lot of your coaching staff goes as a coach goes.
Yeah.
We'll see how that plays out. But you're essentially clearing house again, which I understand some people might like, but I don't know that's the route that the Browns would want to go down, even if it's not necessarily the wrong one.
That is correct, actually. Kevin Stefanski's press conference is coming up at 1 o'clock. I want to talk a little Cavs for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs right now not playing really good basketball.
That's an understatement.
I thought it would be diplomatic about it. I'm not going to say they stink. What they are is they're a little beat up right now and a little discombobulated, and the idea of shooting a lot of threes while not shooting them well isn't very good. But Mark Stein is a guy who's been on our show before. Mark's a pretty sharp guy. And Mark has his own website and everything else. And he came out and said some things about what he's hearing in Cleveland. And he wrote this on Sunday. And he's considered one of the good NBA reporters in the country. He said, virtually every team I've checked in with on the ground in Central Florida, I think he's based in Orlando, brought up the same subject first, Cleveland's winter of discontent. And he said, I've been hearing rumblings in coaching circles for weeks. Amazingly, the pressure is indeed mounting on Kenny Atkinson, Cavs head coach. But I frankly struggle to believe such chatter. Atkinson, after all, NBA's reigning coach of the year, and is only his second season on the Cavaliers bench. Interesting. He said Atkinson may be the one getting the blame, but Stein also brought up a couple of possibilities of a roster shakeup. And he said, Cavs get trade inquiries for Donovan Mitchell or Evan Mobley, and those are immediately swatted away. He said, but Garland, Jared Allen, even Atkinson, how safe are those guys? I think this is interesting, and I'll, for this reason, Jake. Cavs had J.B. Bickerstaff here. He had 2 years of a run with Donovan Mitchell. They won 51 games and then won 44 games, and J.B. was let go. They decided that J.B. wasn't getting the most out of this crew. J.B. has moved on to Detroit, where he went from 14 wins to gosh, I think it was 40-something last year. And right now they have the second-best record in the NBA. They're in first place in the East. So they fired a guy who can coach. I get it. It's the same thing that, you know, we're looking at maybe in the NFL. Sometimes you need a new voice and different approach to take you to the next level. Kenny came in here last year. They started 15-0. They won 64 games. They got knocked out in the second round. And suddenly now he's forgotten how to coach because they're like close to 500. I don't like some of the ways they're playing, but at some point, I mean, you've got a coach who's in first place with another team, taking them from 14 wins in 2 years to best record in the Eastern Conference. You had last year's coach of the year. You won 64 games. Might it be time to just look at the roster and think that this isn't going to work?
I don't know how many coaches you have to roll through. And this is the thing, and I talked about this last week on Overtime, where it's like I hear so many people being like, oh, well, and I've heard people say Kenny's turning into Kevin with press conferences where he just doesn't say anything of actual value, which I don't think is true at all. But the fact of like maybe they need to fire Kenny. And I'm like, guys, he just won 64 games. We watched this offense, and the entire reason pretty much why he got rid of JB was because the offense felt like it was pick and roll, and there wasn't a ton to it, and it wasn't effective
enough. More defensive-oriented. JB preached it like crazy, and the offense was not very good.
So you went and got Kenny, an offensive mind. The offense got a lot better. The defense last year actually, for the most part, stayed. You had defensive player of the year.
Last year, this year, not so much.
Yeah. I just don't know how you don't look around and go, okay, well,
this mix isn't working.
Yeah, the same thing we've been saying for the last 3 years. Is that every offseason we walk into, we go, I don't know that the core four is really the correct answer, but Kobe Altman continues to re-up and say, no, this is the group we want to work with, and then you get injured, and then the team falls off the rails. And
they're in the second apron and strapped with what they can actually do.
You have to look around, I think, at the roster. Something needs to shake up. Listen, Kobe's the guy who wanted to go out and keep the core four together. He's also the guy who looked at this roster and said, okay, let's make some adjustments. Let's make some improvements.
DeAndre Hunter did a nice job last year, not playing as well this year.
Lonzo Ball added to the roster.
I like Lonzo, but he has a history of big injuries, and he's not shooting real well, but he does other things really well.
He's shooting basically everything from beyond the three-point line and is shooting behind the three-point line at a sub-25% clip. That doesn't get it done.
Which, by the way, is one of the things they preached last year. We're going to shoot more threes. We're going to get up and down the floor. Okay, well, you can shoot them all you want. The idea is to make them.
Yeah, last year they did, right? They were among top in 3 points taken and among the top of the league in 3-point percentage. Now, they're still among the top of the league in 3 points taken, but they're almost at the dead bottom. I talked to Danny Cunningham as well, and Danny said, over the last month, if you go back and look at the stats, no Sam Merrill since Sam's been out. They are dead last in three-point percentage since he's been out.
And they haven't had Max Strus all year, and Max can shoot it.
Right. And Darius
Garland's shot's been way off.
And he was hurt for part of it. Right. So there's things that you look at this team and you go, okay, if they get healthy, they get better, no doubt. Jeff, how many times do I have to say the line? If they get healthy, they'll be better. If they're healthy in the playoffs, they'll go farther. At some point, your roster's also just not very healthy. You have guys who don't tend to be healthy, and that goes
or maybe not the right fit.
Right. It's like, yeah, I think that you're looking at a core four, and is it tough to evaluate them? Because they've only played 127
possessions, I think I saw today.
And, I mean, their offensive rating and their total rating has been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're great when they're on the floor together, but at the same time, those guys aren't on the floor together, and for the near future, they're not going to be on the floor together because Mobley's now out 2 to 4 weeks. So that's another month stretch potentially where you don't have another key part of your offense. It can't be one guy's gone and the entire thing falls apart, or you're missing role pieces and the entire thing falls apart. You have to fix it. But yeah, I think that's more roster construction than it is that guy doesn't know how to coach. You got two guys that know how to coach.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more because JB's done a great job in Detroit, did a good job here. I don't think there's any question. And then they bring in Kenny, did a great job here last year. Everybody wanted to put up a statue. The idea that he might be on the hot seat, ludicrous to me. Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up 1 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
That's Daryl Ryder, right? Normally, he's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, as just a hit, but now it's a full show.
So. You got four fun-filled hours right with me.
Then I'm
on
sure
Christmas
you'll probably
Eve.
Be on the station 3 more times today, 4 more times.
I will be
Are
visiting.
Are you doing a midnight mass on the station?
I may end up doing midnight mass on the station. I go from here to Berea, 10:45. Kicking it off with Bubba Ventrone, the coordinator's talk. Then we got open locker room. We got some practice mixed in there. We won't hear from Kevin. Bummer. I got my brownie bites I got to knock out for YouTube. So, by the way, you can see those every day on YouTube. And then I'll visit with whoever's doing the afternoon show today. And then it's brown liquor time.
I mean, you can do it in the middle, Daryl.
Well,
be responsible,
you know,
about it. Come on.
Well, no, I got to celebrate that I'm done with
you're
my
clocking out. Yeah,
that I have to clock out in style, in fashion here on Christmas Eve. All right, want to get in some Cavaliers? They did win last night. However, my other brother Daryl apparently is on the road somewhere here, and he knows something about Lance.
It's a scary thought.
I don't know. So. Against my better judgment,
probably have the.
I'm going to take the call, my brother Daryl. What do you have? Happy holidays.
Hey guys, I don't have any smack to run against Lance. I just wanted to give him a shout out. I used to live with one of his former coaches at the Islander apartment, John Shirilla. So I just want to say hey.
Well, hello there. Okay, appreciate you calling in.
We can do a Christmas shout out. You got a hot take for us here on Christmas Eve to stoke the fireplace? We're going to roast some marshmallows and have some hot chocolate before Santa comes.
Well, I really want to keep Shador. I think he's got what it takes, but who knows what the hell they're going to do. So, all right, guys, Merry Christmas.
Adios. All right. Thanks for checking in, my other brother, Daryl.
Well, the Shirillas were my dad's staff. My dad was When my dad got divorced, he moved to the Islander apartments. Okay. So
that's in Middleburg.
Yeah. So yeah. The Shirillas were awesome. They were, John and Rich, they were on my dad's staff. Great people. John coached me at quarterback. I was not, the easiest guy to coach. I was kind of, bossy and thought I knew everything as a teenager would. So I appreciate those guys putting up with me, and I appreciate the shout out there, Daryl. It was very nice.
That call did not go the way I thought it was going to go.
No, I thought it was.
We were going to get some dirt or something.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you guys are going to learn about me real quick. That's what I thought was coming.
That's the only reason I took the call. I just wanted a little, a little holiday cheer on Lance, give us the real scoop of what a knucklehead he was.
I was going to say, if I'm going to be down here, we need some dirt. It'll be coming, I'm sure.
Cavaliers won last night. They found a way to blow out the New Orleans Pelicans 141-118. It is their second straight win. They're back at it tomorrow in the Garden in New York City against the New York Knicks, who were supposed to be a little rivalry brewing here a couple years ago, but the Cavs just couldn't handle their business.
We haven't held up our end of the bargain.
Yeah, they really can't hold
That's
up there.
That's a good point for our Cavs Surfside update, brought to you by Surfside. Drink responsibly.
I am wondering, though, are they out of the doghouse just yet? Does the Bunsen burner get turned down on Kenny Atkinson's seat? Because it started to get real warm over the weekend when Chris Fedor is out there reporting. Cleveland.com covers the Cavs for them, does an outstanding job. When he puts out there that he's hearing that Dan Gilbert's not happy with how things are going, that's not by accident. I mean, as obviously, it's a good job by Chris reporting that, but that's not by accident that's there. And that told me that Kenny's seat all of a sudden is blazing hot with what Dan is spending on this basketball team this year. But you've been through ups and downs as a coach. This was a team that won 15 straight games to start last season. They were expected to go at least to the conference finals last year. They did not get there. The same things that bothered them in previous playoff series, the softness. I hate saying it, but that it is what it is. I can't
they get bullied.
It.
They get bullied. Yeah. They do inside. They get bullied.
The softness showed up. The lack of durability showed up. Guys got hurt. And they didn't get out of the second round again. And now here they are. They're only a couple of games over 500 at Christmas. And man, like the East seemed to open up. Like they got the Josh Allen treatment this year, where the East seemed to open up with injuries and whatnot. And they just, they look like a team that just doesn't know what they're doing right now, while they too deal with guys in and out of the lineup.
Well, for me, all I've heard and I'm in this realm of thinking, is that it doesn't matter until they get to the playoffs, right? So that's kind of what everybody said.
Well, yeah, now they got to get there.
Told everybody.
Right. So right? I guess the hot seat thing doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because are we now, when we get there, if they're not ready, but like,
hey, they fired David Blatt with the best record in the true. NBA.
But I'm looking at like the last couple of days, like they had 57 from right. their bench the other night, 55 last night. Their bench is kind of playing a little bit better. Their chemistry looks a little bit better. I thought Ty Jerome, even though he got exposed in the playoff, was like a key to their last year. But like, if everything is based on the playoffs, then you got to kind of ride that out to the playoffs, I would think, right? That's my thought. Like, let's get there. See if the plan is, are they building? They've had injuries. Are they trying to, I don't know what the plan may be. That's what they have in their offices. But my thing is,
I understand all that, but mm-hmm. like, here's two problems, right? One is, they've got two wins against not great teams, but this schedule coming up through the end of the first week of January, which ends with J.B. Bickerstaff's Pistons, who are number one in the East right now, right? But they've got to play. They're in New York tomorrow. They've got to play the Rockets, the Spurs. The Suns are a playoff team right now. The Nuggets and then the Pistons, right? So horrible schedule right now if you're on a hot seat, because it's really going to test,
But should he be on a hot seat? I just don't understand the hot seat.
Well, and then the other thing is, I agree with you, except for who's the owner. And Dan Gilbert has shown you before that not only are you on the hot seat when you would think that you wouldn't be because of the way that things are going, but he brought in, Johnny Bryant is the head assistant coach here. And we've seen it, two of the last three coaching changes where they had the heir apparent sitting on the bench behind, Bickerstaff was behind Beilein. You had Ty Lue before. That's a a tell as old as time when it comes to Cleveland Cavaliers and what they plan to do with their coaches. And I could totally see with the way that they started this season, when the expectations are something different, that maybe it's a itchy trigger finger, but it's something that could definitely happen because of the history of what Dan Gilbert does with the Cavaliers.
If the season ended today, the Cavs would be in the play-in tournament as the number 7 overall seed. They're at 17-14, as Owen mentioned. Detroit is leading the East at 24-6.
Well, luckily for them and for most of I have been out there and readily admit that I do not care about the NBA. I care about the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't care about the NBA, and I especially don't care about the NBA until Christmas Day. So the season doesn't end today. It actually starts tomorrow for most of us, right? But you've put yourself behind the eight ball where you could be 10 games over 500 right now, and you're barely above water, and had things not went the way that they did the last two, you'd be at 500, and then you'd really be, trying to keep your head above water there. They didn't put themselves in a spot where they should be right now to have the glowing Christmas Day at noon should have been a celebration of Cavs basketball.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be edge of the seat viewing, while my kids are putting together their toys.
Yeah, look, this should have been the Cavs is the number 1 or the number 3 in the East against the Knicks, who are number 2 in the East. I mean, it was heavyweight. This is supposed to be a heavyweight fight tomorrow. I don't know if this is going to be a heavyweight fight for and the Knicks are the wrong team for them to try and get things fixed against or whatever, right the ship, however you want to put it. Look. The two losses to the Bulls, just borderline inexcusable. DeAndre Hunter just hasn't looked like himself. I recognize guys have been banged
good
up.
Good last two nights, though. Best nights. Better off the bench, maybe?
True, and I think that's what it is. Like, he just has to come off the bench for him to, all this trade speculation about Darius Garland. I don't know what value Darius Garland has. Jared Allen, as much as I love Jared Allen, I've been saying for 2 years they needed to trade him, and they won't do it. Kobe Altman is stubborn. And this is the other thing, too. Like, Kobe's the one that jammed up the financials, and they're in the second apron, and they're very limited in what moves they can make to make this a better team, right? He's the reason they're going to pay almost $400 million in salary and luxury tax because they're in that second apron. Like, and this goes a little bit to our conversation earlier with like Kevin. Like, why is the coach being held accountable? Like, when they're working with what they're given, and I'm not convinced. Still, I thought Atkinson last year did a good job making all the pieces and parts fit together. Maybe that was the outlier. Because in the couple years when JB was here, the pieces weren't fitting together. And now all of a sudden, it doesn't look like the pieces are fitting together right now. And we have to weigh in the injuries, right? Guys in and out of lineup. Darius has been banged up. I get it. But
well, I think the chemistry's been off, right? And when I look at, if you look coming off the bench last year, they never lost a step. They had Ty Jerome. They had Caris LeVert. They had Strus, and they had George Niang.
Yeah.
Whether they're great players or not, there's something about chemistry. So when they came in the game, it didn't look like a different team. Right now, when the second group comes in, there's no free-flowing kind of action going on, right? And things get bad. Mitchell takes it up top and goes to work. I don't know. I think there's got to be a element of, like, time to let maybe the injuries, as you're saying. But that second group is got to have that chemistry. And that's a whole new second group now that those guys they're counting on that weren't involved last year that are now the guys coming off the bench. Their top four guys are new coming off the bench, pretty much.
I think, too, the pressure cooker of winning is a factor.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase. The pressure cooker of the expectation to win is a factor.
Well, yeah, but your star is the one that turned that on. Donovan Mitchell's the one that put that pressure cooker on, and he might be the only one that can handle the pressure cooker right now. And that's a problem when you need 8 other guys, at least in a game, to come out and handle that stuff with you. you know, other than him, there were moments of Sam Merrill early in the season, right? And then he got hurt, and now we're trying to build that back up. The only guy that's been able to withstand the pressure is Donovan Mitchell, and he can do that because he is a star. But you're not playing team basketball when that stuff happens.
Well,
right?
and that's
kind of what they move to in the playoffs, right? Yeah. It just seems like it's one on five all the time in the playoffs.
Well, and Kenny Atkinson said something a couple weeks ago where, you know, he was asked about Donovan was putting up career numbers and how sustainable. He's like, look, it's sustainable because he's a great player, but it's not sustainable for us as a team. And like they had a team the last couple of years. Now, I admittedly, because I've been tied up with Browns season, and once we get into the new year, after the Browns are done with their firings and hirings and whatever it is they're going to do, I'll be able to spend more time with the Cavaliers. So I've not been in that locker room and been around that team as much to really get a vibe. And the one thing I want to really get a beat on is, that natural camaraderie that they had, you know, the goofing around in the locker room before and after games and stuff. And why I say goofing around, I mean that in a positive way.
Yeah, enjoying each other's company.
Yeah, being enjoying each other's company, busting each other's chops, having a good time, those type of things. I need to clarify that because when you say goofing around, that can have a negative connotation too. But I mean this in the positive sense. And so I'm very curious to see if that is continuing or are guys feeling it now after the disappointments that they've had in the postseason the last 3-4 years. Is that starting to get to them? And now this is all about business. Because when LeBron was here, I'm going to tell you right now, not a lot of fun was had in the locker room when LeBron was here in LeBron 2.0. I mean, you had the subtweeting, right? Remember LeBron fit in, fit out on Twitter? He put that one out there, and that was supposedly a shot like a Kevin Love or something, right? Kyrie Irving was just a grumpy Gus on a daily basis because he's Kyrie Irving, and that's just at the time how he was. But like there was the pressure cooker because it's LeBron is back, and we're competing for the NBA championship every year, and it's championship or bust and whatnot. And so like you could feel that around that team, Lance. Like they got along, they played well together, but you could feel that tension in the air. You know what I mean? And so because I've been around that and in that environment and observed it, I'm very curious to observe this Cavalier team up close and see if that's going on. Because then you need a little pressure release valve there.
Well, that's the best chance for success because if you're in the LeBron years and it wasn't fun, you know, the adage is winning is fun, and that's what they were doing. So when you win, the idea that you're not great teammates, all that stuff goes away because you're winning. But when you're losing, you got to stick together, and that's when it frays. That's when there's non-alignment between players and coaches. So right now, if they have a good vibe, that gives them the best chance moving forward. Obviously, they got to practice and do all the things, but when things go bad is, you know, kind of when things get exposed. When you're winning, everything is hid. So we're going to find out.
Winning is the deodorant, as they say.
Absolutely. And it does solve everything. And people, you know, like that or not, but that's what happens.
All right. The Browns are trendsetters. Yes, they are. Not everyone's happy about it either. I'm going to explain that next. It's the Christmas Eve edition of the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. Ken and Anthony, they are off for the holidays. You got myself, Daryl Weider, and Coach Lance Reisland with you until 10 here on The Fan.
And then DeAndre Hunter had his first good game in what felt like forever.
Well, really, Darius.
Darius had a good game.
Darius and DeAndre had their best games of the year, so that's what you needed to get past the Hornets at home. And they made all their threes.
Come on, be positive.
They had by far their best three-point shooting day of the year.
This team responds to positivity.
That's right.
Do not respond to adversity. The Cavs Surfside Report brought to you by the fine folks at Surfside, who ask you to please drink responsibly. They needed
this in a big, big way.
Tone, they were hunky-dory in the postgame, man. Everybody was happy. Everybody was thrilled.
Well, you wondered just how down they were getting because the league started to take notice. When the league starts to take notice, it's one thing to kind of, you know, throw the balls out there when you got all those injuries in the first 20 or so games. But, you know, now they've played 30 games and it's like pretty clear that they have huge problems that they're going to have to overcome. And that's just to fix the regular season. We're not even talking. We can't even begin to fast forward and think about the playoffs, which is, you know, at times that's what we were doing last year. Last year, throughout the season, you know, they were winning all these games and they had so many of the Cavalanches and it was just, you pick the night. Oh, it's a Darius night. Oh, it's a Donovan night.
Yeah.
You know, even a Jared Allen could have a night. Then they traded for DeAndre Hunter. He played well. Then it was off the bench. You know, guys were, you know, filling it up. And every game they'd have three or four guys that would be having amazing games. And so like the last third of the season, me and you start saying, well, they're crushing all these teams. Now we got to start comparing them to the Boston Celtics, which is what we did constantly.
Compared to the Celtics.
What's that?
It was halfway through the year. People were saying
it's a collision course.
Can this team beat the Celtics? Can they beat the Celtics? Can they beat the Celtics? Like that was the whole thing. And then there were people going, I think this team can beat the Celtics.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you started to have real reason to believe it because it seemed like it was going to be really hard to beat the Cavs in a 7-game series. And then we ran into the Indiana Pacers and then you had injuries and, you know, they had that amazing comeback in game one and that was the series. Like felt like our guys didn't really mentally feel like they could beat Indiana, and Indiana ends up being this unbelievable postseason story, but it led us to come into the season going, well, we're not going to even talk regular season. Donovan Mitchell, the famous quote, oh, we could go 82-0 next year and no one's going to care. And then they come out and they just don't play any defense. They don't get back in transition. They can't crush teams on the glass despite having the 2 7-footers.
Mm-hmm.
The whole league changes overnight. Teams are full court pressing. Teams have guys you've never heard of coming off the bench. And like, look, last night, I mean, we were in command of that game in the fourth quarter. You still gave up 132 and 20-some threes to the Hornets.
That's
one of the worst teams in basketball.
The defense was horrific. But I got to the point where I'm like, man, I can't keep just beating down on them.
Yeah, you need a win.
I just need a win. Like I had a buddy who commented, like, we're going to give up 145 points. And I go, as long as we score 146, I don't care. I got to get a win. Like, that's kind of where we're at right now.
Well, especially because their schedule coming up. Have you seen, you know, how different things are going to be now? They played so many easy teams.
And they lost to them. Like, I got to get something. Anyway, Darius Garland yesterday. How do you build off that Hornets win, Darius?
Keep the same confidence, same intensity on both ends of the floor, and try to get better and better each game. I mean, this is a great start just to get us going since we have been on a little stretch that we don't like to be on. So it's really good to see everybody happy in the locker room. No boos in the crowd. So that was really good and a lot more cheers. So trying to get back to Cavaliers basketball, man.
Charlotte now 9-20 on the season. DeAndre Hunter, you had a big game. Is it big to snap the streak?
Felt great. You know, definitely don't want to go on any losing streak. So to get any win, you know, feels good. Definitely builds the, you know, morale and everything like that.
Charlotte now 3-12 away from Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay, here comes Dad. Here's Donovan Mitchell to cool everybody's jets.
We didn't crack any code. This isn't like a victory lap. This isn't something where we're like, yeah, you know, we're back. Like, we got a big stretch coming up. So continuing to be who we are and continue to be positive.
I'm happy that they won. I'm getting a weird stealing feeling. If it hasn't already happened, it might have already happened, but I think we would have found out. Like, there might be a come to Jesus moment here. Like, if we are having some fun with it, and I'd rather they beat the mm-hmm. Hornets then lose to the Hornets. I'm just calling Donovan Dad because he's the one who seems to be like, guys, like, you gotta get this going here. And I tell you what, he's taking Jalen Tyson under his wing. Jalen Tyson's a tough talking kid. I like Jalen Tyson, but it's like, this ain't good enough. Like, I think that he's,
well, you shouldn't have your second year player being a guy that tries to bring the team together, which is what Tyson's been doing, especially with all the veterans.
But
they
you
have.
Think about this. I would like to say, like, Jalen Tyson doesn't know any better. I mean, Jalen Tyson went to 3 different schools and he's seen it all. All right. But he's clearly tough. Mm-hmm. Like, he's clearly a guy like a, I think there's some people that can push some Cavs guys around. I don't know if Jalen Tyson's the type of guy that can be shoved around already. I think some guys might test him, but I think that he might rise to that occasion. But Jalen Tyson talks tough, and I think that he does it because you're going to go under the wing of leadership. and the wing of leadership is extended by Donovan Mitchell. So Donovan, like the other guy, like what did we talk about 2 years ago? Donovan, was it the Jason Lloyd report where Donovan was a little bit perturbed, the lack of seriousness from Darius Garland? He was a little bit, you remember that report now, huh? I jogged your memory. He was a little bit upset with the lack of seriousness from Darius Garland. And like, you hear like, hey, yeah, it's good to get the streak, the skid snapped and get going and we could build off this. And Donovan's like, yeah, I ain't going to get excited about a win over the Hornets. And I'm going, man, like if they go out there and they, you talked about their schedule, man, they start handing in some eggs against some of these teams, some farts against some of these teams. Yeah, Donovan might have a come to Jesus moment with everybody where it gets very public and very nasty.
Well, they have.
It seems like dear old dad ain't very thrilled right now.
They are back at it. It's a back to back against New Orleans tonight.
Pelicans.
They've won five in a row because Zion is back and healthy.
Is Zion going to play tonight?
I think
we're
so.
At home. Zion's going to play tonight.
I think so, but we are 9.5-point favorites, so maybe Vegas knows something. Then it's at the Knicks on Christmas Day to start out that entire schedule.
Uh-huh.
Then at Houston, and obviously Houston has been really, really good. Then after that, it is at San Antonio, Phoenix at home, Denver at home, Detroit at home. And then they got two in a row against Minnesota with an Indiana game sandwich in between. So, they've had one of the easiest schedules in the NBA so far.
Is that bad? Is that bad for us in our future?
Who knows? I mean, if they turn into the Cavs,
I know what you're saying.
If they turn into the Cavs that we expect them to be, then it shouldn't matter who you play. It shouldn't matter. Maybe this gets their level of competition up. You got Sam Merrill coming back.
I hope so.
Max Strus is not going to be back for this stretch, but he will be coming back. So internally, you know what they're saying, because Kenny has said it a bunch of times. Like, we just need to get whole. We just need to get whole. The problem with that is in the NBA, if teams are waiting for them to be whole, then a lot of those teams just going to have disappointing years, because this is just the way the league works. 82 games, guys are always going down. You're always having stretches of games, especially when you have more veterans than young guys. And that's what the Cavs have now. They have more veterans than young guys. You tend to have also guys that, you know, have bumps and bruises. I mean, the Darius thing, he looks like normal Darius the last week, but we know that injury is very tenuous, that he could have one bad moment, one grimace, and then we're wondering how he's going to be over the next 2 weeks.
So speaking of Darius, there was another thing that you forwarded us to us yesterday. The Kings are now interested in Darius here. What's going on here?
Because
this is another day that passes, and it's like, does Darius want out? Because who's putting this out? Does Darius want out, or the Cavs
So that's what I wonder. Because Darius last year was having an all NBA year until the last month and a half, and his shooting went south, and then the injuries started happening. But Darius looked like a guy who, hey, give me my own team, and I could probably do Trae Young stuff, put up 25 to 30 a night. Will it be on a winning team? Who knows? I mean, that's always been kind of the question with Trae, although Trae has had some great playoff moments. Darius really hasn't. So obviously, when he is healthy, when he is right, Darius is certainly capable of handling a ball over the course of a game and getting shots off and being able to shoot from everywhere, all three levels.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe, though, that it's Darius or his agent that's putting out the feelers, or is it more the Cavs that are putting out the
feelers?
I find
it hard to believe that any of the bad teams in the league, like Sacramento, are like, the one thing we need is Darius to be our best player. Because that, to me, is a formula for probably 35 wins. I'm just not seeing. Darius is a great number two or number three awesome.
So does that mean this is going to turn into an investigation with you? I'm going to put you on the spot here. So does that mean
where is it coming from?
Does that mean that's more Darius saying that sort of thing? The Kings are interested in it?
Look, I imagine.
Or Darius's agent?
Yeah, it's hard to say, because as long as Darius is playing alongside Donovan, he's never going to be the guy. It's always going to be Donovan's team. And
I think as long as Darius is playing against anybody but Colin Sexton, it's going to be someone else's team.
Well, people astutely pointed out that this kind of mirrors the Kyrie thing, except without the winning. Like Kyrie.
Yeah, but Kyrie's better than Darius. He was better than Darius.
Yeah, I thought so. There were people that were telling me the last year that Darius was actually...
No.
Come on.
Was that actually his ceiling was better than Kyrie's? I was never somebody who bought into that. Okay. But we knew that Kyrie was never playing alongside of LeBron. All the benefits of playing alongside of LeBron, the negatives are you'll never be the guy. And, you know, Kyrie was a dude that had a famous shoe deal, was wanting to be in movies, was, you know, before some of the missteps off the court. Kyrie was seen in that stature. Darius has never been that. And maybe Darius is feeling that's never going to happen here as long as Donovan's here. And now Evan,
I don't think
when the team prioritized Evan Mobley this year coming into the season.
Well, yeah, but I think that that's what the universe should be telling him if he feels that way. Now, this is making him out to be a total villain here. I understand that. But I think, though, that it's not to make Darius out to be a bad guy. It's about realism hitting Darius is that this is it. Like, you are, if you want to be on a competitive team, like, yeah, you're right. Like, if you wanted to go to Sacramento and win 35 games in a season and get your, what do you think he would average in Sacramento? Remember, every bad team has to have the guy who scores all the points.
Yeah.
So if you want to average 28 a night, you go right on ahead and go right over there.
He's had years here. Well, with Donovan, the best he's done is 20 points a game.
Yeah.
He could easily score 25, 26.
Especially
on a bad team. Especially in this league, the way this league is going right now with all the pacing, so many more possessions.
Yeah. You can get your 25, 28. I said 28 a night. Go and get your 28 a night on a bad team where no one really takes you seriously. I mean, not everybody can share that. There has to be a Pippen to a Jordan here. Now, I'm using the biggest example possible. There has to be a Pippen to a Jordan. There has to be a Kyrie to a LeBron.
He's also eligible for another max extension. And, you know, the Cavs, I don't think they're rushing to get that done now.
I wouldn't be either, especially with the history there. But there might be a team that
they've got Evan and Donovan. And this cap thing, guys, their payroll this year, if you add the tax, if they just continued the roster for the rest of the year, is in the 390s. It's why a lot of people think they could, if they're still 7-8 seed, they could be dumping contracts.
So that's what tells me that would be the Cavs putting that out there then. That it would be the Cavs movement there, that they're not in a hurry to sign him to an extension. I think a lot of fans are like, nah. Okay. And when you just said about how much you're spending on the salary and that if it gets any worse, like you're a 7-8 seed, you don't want to be spending that type of money on a 7-8 seed. Like that would tell me Cavs. So like there's a lot of ins and outs and what have yous here. Like Darius, okay, I don't want to turn him into a bad guy though, if it's not worthy of him being a bad guy. Like I'll call a bad guy. But if he's not a bad guy, then the hell
is it? I've never thought he was a bad guy.
Okay, NBA version of a bad guy where it's like you want out of a good team. Like we looked at Kyrie, it's like, oh, God, how could you want out of this? Well, yeah, you are going to draw the ire of that. So I don't want to put the mouth on him if it's the Cavs doing, because I could see where he would want out. Well, I really couldn't, but I've seen that type of thing before looking at basketball. So I don't agree with him, but I could see where it's happened.
I would just love to know in a moment of truth.
I could also see where the Cavs would want to get rid of him.
I'd love to know. I know we got to go. The moment of truth, I would love to know what Donovan thinks of playing alongside Darius in his prime years.
I really think we're about to find out here shortly because this schedule is going to be tougher. And I think everybody's like, okay, you beat the Hornets. Great. Like, we got to get going here. So if they rise to the occasion, this will all go away and everything will be fine. If it doesn't, I think we're going to have some real big moments coming up here. Coming up next is serviceable. That's in 5 of them.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
A fan. Christmas Day game tomorrow in the NBA, as well as the NFL, but we don't need to talk about that right now. But Cavs do have a Christmas Day game, which, by the way, I understand that, like, especially I think when it comes to the NFL, that a lot of people are either for or against it. There's not much of an in-between. NBA's been on Christmas Day for a while. It has been a tradition. And I think for a lot of teams, it's a really cool place to be. Like, in a lot of ways, it is a signal that, especially when you're not a big market team. Like, are the Lakers going to play on Christmas Day? Of course the Lakers are going to play on Christmas Day. There's a lot of times that goes, especially while LeBron's there, now Luke is there. Like, you're going to put stars on the screen that day for people to watch. But I think especially when you're a team like Cleveland, it just means a little bit more. You're being put in the national spotlight. Like, that's a game that I watch you, and I look at the schedule when it comes out, and I go, oh, you're playing the Knicks on Christmas Day. That is supposed to be the clear, determined number one versus number two Eastern Conference game. Let's see how it plans out. And I think some of that has been just, I guess, lost in the way that I feel for it. Had this been a true battle, not even just necessarily number one and number two, but it looked like it was two teams who are clearly playing at full strength, who looked like they're playing to their abilities. Let's go see the product that goes out there and look like a dogfight. I'm all in. I would have that same level of excitement, but it does feel like the Cavs that we've gotten over the past few weeks, and really for the entire start of this year, it feels like some of that Christmas Day mojo has been gone. Like, this would have been the game that I was waking up for tomorrow morning, and I was instantly, as I woke up, I'm like, of course. You know, it's Christmas, which I celebrate. I'm excited for Christmas. But I'm really excited to see what the Cavs do today with a, like, basically measuring stick matchup. Here's how you match up against the New York Knicks. Here's how the Eastern Conference looks. To the point where now I'm looking at it and going, I don't even know how much faith I have in the Cavs in this game because I haven't seen you play a good team and I haven't seen you play a ton of good teams competitively at any point this year. Like, I go back to the first Knicks game, pretty solid. It was a solid game that the Cavs had played while down Darius Garland. It was like that game, again, felt like it meant something, felt like it mattered. Where now I'm going through and I'm going, okay, well, this is now another matchup where I'm playing the Knicks. I don't have Evan Mobley. The Cavs have gotten back into a mojo, but it's against the Hornets and Pelicans. Like, if they just get blown out tomorrow, I'm just going to kind of shrug my shoulders. I mean, like, that's the expectation. This game feels a little bit more hollow. There is not that same level of excitement that I once had. And I can't sit here and blame anybody but the Cavs for it so far. If you want to blame injuries, I think there's a legitimate argument into that. But I don't even know what to expect for this game.
Like Jake brought up during quick hits, are the vibes back for this team? And I think they are a little bit. I think Kenny Atkinson's clip that we played there, you know, makes you feel a little bit better about it, that, you know, Darius is feeling like there's a little bit more vibes. He's reminding Kenny to have fun. We're going through and seeing the bench actually have a little bit of life to it. But I almost feel like I'm going through and watching an underdog story on Christmas Day, which aren't supposed to be how most of these games are played. Supposed to feel like closer to even matchups. And naturally, through the course of an NBA season, like, again, not to bring up the NFL on Christmas Day, but go look at that. They expected three competitive games, and they're not getting three competitive games. At least they shouldn't be getting three competitive games based on who's playing. Again, there are just things that are out of your control, but this one, for the most part, is very much within the control of the two teams. Watch the Cavs be injured last year. I watched the Cavs continue to win games last year. I watched them continue to function with an offensive efficiency that was, bordering on record-breaking stuff. And this year, I've just lost a lot of it. Like, the main question that I'm going to have answered is whether or not the two games that I just watched were a fluke or whether or not the Cavs actually have something back to them. But this just looks like a game that I'm going to go into and expect the Cavs to be outmatched. I'm going to expect the New York Knicks, who have been going through that battle test, who have been playing better basketball than the Cavs have on a consistent basis, to just look like the better team. I don't think that bodes well for anybody's Christmas. I don't think that pushes through to make any of us feel better. But, I mean, at the very least, it does at least signal the Cavs, I think, are getting up for this game. I think there is a little bit of a build towards momentum. In fact, Kenny Atkinson was speaking about this game and just how much the Cavs are looking forward to it.
Man, if you're not up for that, you better hang it up. Like, it's going to be fun. That's a celebration. To me, that's the marquee game in the NBA. I participated in it. There's nothing like going to the Garden at noon. But, you know, we're playing a heck of a Knicks team. Just playing great. So it'd be a great challenge, but we're really looking forward to it.
And I agree with Kenny. Like, this does feel like, in the NBA, like, talk to me about a regular season game that feels like it means more than a Christmas Day game. There is a reason the Cavs would play the Warriors back in like 2016, 2017, those type of years, and they would play them on Christmas Day. Those are the matchups. Like, the NBA has tried to dominate the day of Christmas for a long time. They've been trying to get these to be everybody should want to tune in, and if nothing else, this should be your Christmas morning background noise throughout the rest of the day of, like, at least it's on your TV and you're tuned in. Right, because you're going to look up and you're going to see good basketball. This is a Cavs team that doesn't scream marquee matchup to me right now. I think I'm still waiting for that. I'll give a lot of credit to the Cavs where it's due. I think that you look at, especially a game like last night, you've had Sam Merrill back for the last two games, and if for some reason it feels like it has flipped a switch for the Cavs and their ability to shoot the ball. I mean, it is another threat along the three-point line that they've just been desperately missing. Because it feels like every guy that's gone down so far, Max Strus to start the year, Darius Garland to start the year, and, you know, here and there in between, Sam Merrill, it has been your best three-point shooters on a team that loves to shoot the three and did so at a very high clip last year. So I think, like, if nothing else, Sam's sitting there proving, too, that there's a lot more of an impact that he's playing, almost in a scary way, considering he's a legitimate role player who probably won't be in the starting lineup when this team is fully healthy. I don't know how much of an impact that guy should be playing on your overall impact as a team. And I like Sam. But, again, I feel like I'm kind of just wishing on magic. Like, he was shooting the ball so well from beyond the arc to a point that was not sustainable. Like, Sam Merrill was not going to consistently shoot the 60% from three that he was shooting to start the year. He's going to come back to earth, even if he shoots a really good season, even if he's, you know, bordering on 40-plus percent from there, you know, as the season winds down. Yeah, it's really impactful, but it's not going to be what it was. I just don't know how I'm looking at this team and going, okay, I get it. You're injured. It's going to play an impact. This Knicks team's really just not. Like, this is a team that's up for this game. This is a team that's ready to push forward, and a team that feels like they're where they should be right now in the Eastern Conference. I guess that's the biggest problem for me, is I'm waiting for the Cavs to return to the point that they should be in the Eastern Conference, while the Knicks have just maintained their spot there. They're not one right now, obviously, because the Pistons are having a great start to the year. But it goes back to what we talked about for the Cavs, even going back to the preseason. Like, I sat here and I was like, I need the Cavs to be the one seed. I need the Cavs to rip off 64 wins this year. If you show me that you're a team playing competitive basketball on most given nights, and the games that you actually have to get up for, you go out there and you get up for. That's all that really matters. And that's where the Knicks are at. It's like, okay, you're among the top of the Eastern Conference. You've kept yourself in a top four seed where you'd be hosting a home playoff series. That's great. Beyond that, like, the Cavs have just fallen so far out of that rotation and have not shown it to me for so long. It just makes it difficult. I mean, Michael, you're a big basketball fan. Does this feel the same way that it did to start the year? Because, I mean, maybe you didn't even feel that way to begin with. This was like the matchup basically of the regular season for me that I wanted to see.
So, I mean, at least I'll say this. It's of all the teams playing on Christmas, the Cavs certainly are not the most defensive. Like, the Mavericks are playing tomorrow. So there is that.
Oh, they've also thought they would have a little bit more help.
Also a horrible missed opportunity that Dallas is not playing the Lakers tomorrow. How is that not happening? We have the Rockets playing the Lakers, the Mavericks playing the Warriors. Like, I think we should switch that, but, you know, it's just me.
Listen, I don't know what the story writers are doing in the NBA. They could clearly miss the ball on that one. I would agree with you. Like, all right.
Luka should be going back to Dallas tomorrow.
Yeah, Luka versus Anthony Davis, Cooper Flagg, essentially a what could have been if Dallas had just, I don't know, maybe kept Luka, and you can imagine all the different scenarios. I agree with you on that. I agree the Mavs are probably a little bit more offensive, although did beat the Nuggets last night. And Cooper Flagg looked good and Anthony Davis looked good.
But when it comes to the Cavs, I guess, I look at tomorrow almost as, like, based on what we've seen the past two nights, like, this almost feels like a statement game for the Cavs. Like, it's like a litmus stick type of thing. Like, where are you now? Are you back or are you not? If they go out there and get hammered tomorrow, vibes are gone. It's reset the decks. But if they go out there tomorrow and it's a competitive game, they maybe lose close or they pull it out and they win, like, then it's okay. The Cavs are back and it's for real. Like, that's what it feels like, which I agree with you isn't what I think we wanted this matchup to be, where it's like the Cavs are kind of trying to prove themselves, but that's kind of where we are, and I'll take it. It's better than had they, you know, lost or not played so great the last couple of nights, and it was like, oh boy, like, tomorrow could get ugly. I'm confident that they will come out tomorrow and be up for it. It'll just be a matter of whether or not they can win the game.
Yeah, listen, it's whether or not the talent lives there. I do think it's interesting what you bring up, because this can be... I think when we talk about the vibes for this team and getting up and playing for this game, this is really interesting that this can be, I'm not going to call it a turning point in the season, but I think it's a turning point for your next few games. Like, if the vibes have been up against the Hornets and they've been up against the Pelicans and you feel like you continue to press on and you feel like you look at these two games and you're like, okay, Cavs have flipped the vibes. They flipped the momentum. Going up against a team like New York, I mean, I can't help but think the guys in that room, if they go out there and just get killed by New York, are going to go, here we go again. We're going right back to the way that we were just playing. We couldn't make shots. We couldn't stay competitive in this game. And on the flip, if you do go out and you play competitive or even win this game, I think that's all the momentum boost you could possibly ask for, which is going to carry over for at least a couple of games further.
And they need that because their schedule is rough coming up.
And they did not capitalize on the bad part of the schedule they just had. They could use the momentum. Problem is... you actually got to go out and capture it, and I think that's what scares me. 216-474-0092. Does the Christmas Day game for the Cavs feel more hollow after the recent play? Plus, coming up here in 5 minutes, Ashley Bastock, Cleveland.com, joins us to break down all things Browns. Jake Volnick with you guys filling in for Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.